It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you. This is Caffeinated Comics. I am your host, John Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And Jimmy the Muscle is back.
Now. Yeah,
hey
Jimmy.
Now, hey now. All right.
It's been a minute since you've been here.
Oh, a hot minute, yeah.
I can't remember.
Mess of a minute.
I can't remember the last time. I don't know. It was last year.
Yeah.
I know that.
It's time travel.
Yeah, I know that. I know the last time you saw my wife, she was pregnant.
Yes, she was.
And now you just the baby who's almost 7 months old.
Yeah.
So that's how long it's been.
Yeah, he crushed my finger like a chicken bone.
He did. And he just he made complete eye contact the entire time, which was the creepiest part of it.
Yeah. I crush your finger.
I don't care who you are. If you're an adult and you're slowly crushing your hand and making eye contact.
And speaking in a strange voice.
Yes, and showing how intimate this is that I am causing you pain. But and this is also like the first time in like a month that we've done our regular podcast where we sat in this room.
I think it's the first time since Puerto Rico.
And there's snow on the ground.
At least since Puerto Rico, because there's been a lot of remotes, a lot of Skype casts, a lot of good shows. But I think we were talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer. So that tells you.
I have not seen that.
You have not seen the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer?
No, I missed that thing this past Tuesday. Oh, the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, that was good.
I saw bits of it.
Yeah, that was good.
I heard the previews they were showing were just like, what?
They show, and you can find this on
it's all over
right now. There is a concept art drawing from Avengers 2 of Hulk fighting Hulkbuster Iron Man.
So he built new Hulkbuster Iron
Man. Yeah,
there is a fight between a Hulkbuster Iron Man and Hulk.
Nice.
That's it. And then there were a lot of shots of Ultron, but they all kind of look like comic shots.
Oh, okay.
So either it's going to be very close to the comic, or they're not ready to show it.
Yeah,
it'll be a minute.
And they showed Scarlet Witch and
Quicksilver.
Scarlet Witch, who's the third Olsen twin. And Quicksilver.
Well, she's not a twin.
She's younger than the Olsons.
Yeah.
She's also had a better career already.
And better looking.
Yeah.
Not crazy bag lady.
She's not all strung out,
And Heath Ledger.
Dressed in the dark.
And she doesn't have an apartment that Heath Ledger can die in.
Oh.
Also important.
Oh, joke's on you. Why so serious?
Why so soon?
Why so serious? Because there's a dead body in my apartment. That's why so serious.
That was like 8 years ago.
Five years ago. Yeah. Well, it was like right before Dark Knight came out. So it's like early 2008. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I don't think we can say too soon. I think we can now make fun of Heath Ledger.
Tragedy plus time equals comedy. Come on.
It all depends on how
it
much
still
time.
Feels so soon.
Yeah. That the Marvel was good. It was kind of fluffy. It was kind of like. They glossed over a lot of the bad stuff. They were like, and then we made a Hulk movie. And then we made Iron Man 2! I was like, you made a Hulk movie. Nobody
we're on
wanted,
our third Hulk
nobody
now,
wanted to
but,
see.
Yeah, we're on our third version of the Hulk. Yeah. I did like the Edward Norton one, though.
I liked that movie,
That was awesome, man.
You know, but that first Ang Lee one was like, what the hell?
Ang Lee.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that first one, that doesn't really count, though. It's kind of like...
I hope not.
No, not with Gamma Dogs. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he killed them. I like dogs.
Guess.
I love dogs.
So you're fine with terrible things in a movie as long as they die.
Yeah. I mean, come on. A Gamma Poodle?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were pretty bad.
I don't know. No one thought that was like a bad idea in like production.
Or when Nick Nolte takes a power line and bites it.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you remember the plot of that movie, which there wasn't much, like the military doesn't want him to turn into the Hulk. So what do? They get his estranged, crazy Nick Nolte father, who just looks like that in real life.
Oh, yeah,
that wasn't like him and done up.
Yeah.
Like that was his audition.
Hey, Nick, can you grow your hair out for 6 months?
Yeah,
and act
crazy? That's just. And then they sit him down in front of him and they're just like, pushing him. It's like, what? The fuck were you
like,
guys?
Yeah. And he's like chained to a chair in front of two giant turbines.
Two giant generators of something.
It's like, did you guys want him to turn into the Hulk and destroy whatever San Francisco?
He takes the absorbing man and ruins it.
Yeah.
And then Zax and ruins it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they combine Zax and Absorbing Man into a terrible Nick Nolte character.
And then remember when he just turned into like a giant jellyfish?
Fighting a storm? Yeah.
It's like, what am I watching?
That's why the Ed Norton...
Beat up a marshmallow.
That's why the Ed Norton one's good, because at least he fights the Abomination. And that's it. It is a decent movie, but it's totally forgotten. It's like...
But it's interesting, because it's in continuity, though.
Because Robert Downey Jr. has a cameo in it.
Well, not only that, there's that Marvel one-shot where they talk about sending Downey in to go piss off Ross because they're putting a team together. I don't know if you ever saw this, Jimmy.
It's the first one with Agent Coulson. I forget which DVD
it's basically. It's these two agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sitting in a diner, and they're talking about.
Isn't it Coulson and somebody else?
Yeah, and they're talking about like setting up the Avengers, and they're saying, "Well,
which DVD is this on?
I want to say Iron Man 2 or Thor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd say it's one of those. And they're basically like, we're putting this team together, the Avengers or whatever. General Ross wants Blonsky for the Avengers, and they're like, the Abomination, we can't have him on the team, we gotta do something, he's gotta hold that guy in the keep him in prison. And then they're like, well, we better send somebody to go piss him off. And then it cuts to the scene at the end of Incredible Hulk where Stark walks in and just is kind of just like, well, you know,
I think it was
that super soldier serum didn't work too well, did it? I know, let's build some hardware, huh?
I think that was the first one shot they did.
It wasn't. The first one was a funny thing happened on the way.
I think that's on Thor.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And they used the budget for two shorts with just that one. So when they were going to do the second one, the director was like, we have a budget for two people sitting and having a conversation. Yeah. And that's why they just talk and then cut in that Stark thing. Because they blew the budget for the Thor one.
Well, yeah, him kicking the sack of flour.
Yeah, you know? He throws the sack of flour and kicks it. He gives him the gun.
Yeah.
He was just so charming in that.
Yeah, the I like how the Marvel movies are so intertwined now that the short on Thor 2 is all about Iron Man 3.
Oh,
have you seen that one with Ben Kingsley?
Never seen.
Hail to the King. Yeah.
It's great, and I feel like they had their cake and eat it too, because we've talked about it multiple times on this podcast. How some people, no one in this room, but some people are very angry at the Mandarin reveal, and that short was just like, yeah, he wasn't ever the Mandarin, and there is one.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's enough. If you want to follow it up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that's fine.
Guy Pearce is not the Mandarin, apparently.
There's a real Mandarin, and he probably has rings.
I say Ben Kingsley is a clone of the real Mandarin.
Oh, that'd be cool.
He just kind of put him out there.
He's just some like lunatic.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I would.
Deranged clone.
I would love them to follow. Ben Kingsley's doing everything lately. I would love them to do one episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where they have to hunt down Ben Kingsley.
Did you see the episode
with
Sif?
Yes, I did.
Indeed.
I will see anything Jamie Alexander does.
Yeah.
She's in the pilot episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
What?
She's like 19.
Oh, yeah. Oh. She's like one of the kids there.
It's the one where they let high school kids drink so they can make money off them.
Yeah.
And she plays like a high school senior, and she blackmails Dennis. She's like, if you don't take me to the prom, I'm going to say you statutory rape me.
Oh, nice.
That's like the first thing she
that
did.
Should be in one of the shorts. You know?
Well, you can buy that DVD, too.
Oh, there it is.
Yes,
I'll just borrow it from you, John.
There you go.
Done.
Nice.
I don't know. Yeah. So we do have a topic. As usual, we have
what
one
is that,
we
8 minutes
back
into the
How
show?
Do you spell that?
Yes. Is it? You know, I like to think of our shows like Simpson episodes. The first 8 minutes is just funny. It doesn't really count for anything. There's no story yet.
Best episode ever.
Yeah, but we've been talking about doing this topic for a very, very long time because there was a book that came out. We mentioned it a few times on the podcast. It was like Greatest Thing in the World a few times, but I thought it was worth the whole episode that Jimmy actually brought to our attention, which is Marvel Comics, The Untold Story.
Yes. Very interesting, like inside story look at what really was going on. Behind the Stanley soapbox Marvel bullpen.
Right.
Page,
Told by, you know. I mean, they did extensive interviews with all the
creators. They interviewed everybody,
They cite everything.
All the
lawsuits, the way the company got formed up, the layoffs, the screwing artists in the 60s and 70s, the rise of like Steranko and, all these other guys. It's like, it's a lot of good shit in there.
And it just keeps staying interesting because the Jim Shooter era.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Image guys and then the bankruptcy.
It goes pretty much from from Timely Comics, yeah, right, all yeah. the way up until they
to Avengers.
Yeah, until Avengers.
Yes, yeah, the movie,
which
yeah,
is a
right?
good, yeah. you know,
that's good a good chunk. Ending point.
75 years.
Yeah, and that's a good peak for Marvel. It's like, and then they made the biggest movie ever made.
Yeah.
It was a good place to stop. And granted,
granted,
it's been out now for a year or two, so that was.
But I think it came out like the Avengers had come out in theaters, and
then
that like, book
literally
came out
like days or
it was within the same time frame.
Really close.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing, and it was interesting because I was listening to a Neil Adams interview, and which is always interesting.
Nice guy. Nice guy.
Yeah.
He signs my stuff.
Yeah.
Good on him.
I have one of the Batman Illustrated by Neil Adams covers signed to me with a sketch.
Don't sell that.
Great guy. No, that I won't sell. I was saying on the air how I stupidly sold a Fantastic Four.
Mistakenly. Come on. Mistakenly.
No, let's say stupid.
Okay, stupid.
I sold my copy of Fantastic Four 250 that I got signed by John Byrne. And then Jimmy told me on one of the shows that he doesn't sign anything anymore. So whoever bought that on eBay, you can now enjoy that 10% more
because
I can't have it back. But no, the hardcover stays. In fact, I like it when they sign hardcovers more than original issues.
Yeah,
I agree. Yep. When
we met Mark Waid at All, I brought the Fantastic Four hardcover, even though I had every issue.
Right.
And then the next time I brought the Captain America Ron Garney premiere hardcover.
Outstanding.
So it's like, I have those issues.
Yeah.
But it's like, that issue's going to go in a long box. I'm not going to see it. The book's the one I take
That's
off the
one
shelf
you're
and
reread.
You could buy, you know, they have those beautiful frames for the comic books now.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah.
No pressure, John. No pressure.
For a second, I thought.
Just an idea.
I thought you were going to say, just you could take that hardcover and send it to CGC.
Oh, no. Yeah, right.
Have
yeah.
seal an omnibus.
Yeah. Oh,
for $7,500.
Yeah, it just comes in like a freezer.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Hey, John, why is that truck in your driveway? Mm. My book came back.
My book's back. Yeah. You guys do any CGC at all, Jimmy?
No.
I got one.
Yeah.
Do you?
I got Journey into Mystery number 86. It's a 5.0. I got it for practically a song.
Yeah.
Did you send it to CGC or you bought
it
and
bought
it was in a seal?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't even buy them. I want to see. Yeah. I want to see the interior pages.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. I get it. You put a tag on there. It said white pages. You know, no creases. That's great.
Yeah.
I'd like to hold it in my hand.
Yeah.
Not in a piece of plastic.
Yeah. It's not a museum. You know.
It's the same reason. Yeah. It's the same reason I open action figures.
Right. Yeah.
I don't keep them in the package because I feel like if I can't open it, then why don't I just have a picture of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can just look at
photos,
it on the shelf
where you
at the store.
Scan them now.
Yeah. I would. You know, I would rather buy a poster of like Batman 251, Joker's 5-Way Revenge, like that wall hanger poster you have.
Yeah.
I'd rather spend the money on that than get into CGC. And it's basically the same image.
Yeah.
And granted, you know, the plastic is formulated to protect.
Sure, yeah.
And keep it looking as it is in its current state. But once you crack that.
Yeah, that it's open.
No more CGC.
Yeah.
And the thing with them was
put it in a Ziploc baggie then.
They were originally.
Hey, don't be grandma.
They originally started doing baseball cards, which makes sense because there's a front. And a back. You can see the front and the back.
Which I like about the slabs.
Yeah.
Because you can see the whole thing.
Yeah, you can see the back cover on a CGC.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Hey, the phone's ringing.
And we got a phone call.
Yeah.
We'll take that on the air.
Yeah,
and it is telemarketing.
Bah.
You will go away.
I don't like talking to robots. They call all the time.
You don't like robots.
I don't.
You're afraid of them.
What
about R2-D2? He's a garbage can.
Yeah, but
wheels.
I can push him over.
Well, yeah.
So it's like
that's the generational difference between between like you and I. You and I are closer in age than Steven.
Think about this. You guys saw Star Wars when you were kids in the
Our
theater.
Robots. Yeah. You say robot to us, we think C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah.
We say robot to you, you think Terminator.
T-1000.
Yeah.
That's what
you
say.
Yeah.
When I was like 8, I saw Terminator 2. So
okay,
you know what
okay.
I mean? That's
yes,
what
yeah.
I picture when I picture
Why did you see Terminator 2 at 8? It's rated R.
Because it was rated R. Yeah. John, you just answered your own question.
I'm not showing that to Ben. I showed him.
Tell this story, John.
I thought there'd be boobs in it.
Yeah. I was just saying.
Well, there were a few.
Well, there, there you go.
There are.
Edward Furlong.
Yeah, I showed Ben Batman Begins and Dark Knight Rises. And he's like, what about number two? And I was like, number two has the Joker, but you're not going to watch that one.
No, that's where you draw the line.
I was like, I said, he's really scary. He goes, how scary? And I brought him in here and I brought down the Heath Ledger Hot Toys and I go, this is the Joker in the Batman movie. And he goes, I don't want to see it.
Oh, but Bane's okay.
Well, the reason I showed him Dark Knight Rises is because I was doing a Bane voice, and he goes, "Bane doesn't sound like that." I'm like, "Well, not in the cartoon." Yeah, and then he wouldn't let it go, and I was like, "Fine, we're watching this."
Because I
had a Bane toy, and I was playing with him, and I was going, "I'm going to break your butt, man." And he's like, "He doesn't sound like that, Daddy." I'm like, "Nobody does.
I'm right, and you're going to see why."
My Bane sounds like that.
I've done the research. I'm not going to do a Latin American. Oh, Mr. Wayne, I have a zipper on my mouth.
Yeah,
as much as I love the Bruce Timm series. He went from Goofy to like S&M.
Yeah.
The Bruce Timm series.
Yeah.
But we're talking about Marvel Comics.
Yeah, now, how about that book?
Well,
the point I was saying was I was listening to Neil Adams in an interview, and he was telling stories about like the editors and Marvels at DC, mm-hmm. and just it reminded me, thinking back at that book, is just how crazy and backward the comic industry was.
Oh yeah, they were like, it seemed like anything that got done, here you go, put it out there.
Yeah,
you know, there was like no rhyme or reason.
No, everybody who created it, and have you ever read Men of Tomorrow?
I think I have.
It's Gerard Jones, who used to write Green Lantern.
I think I've read that book, yeah.
Yeah, he talks a lot about the publishers.
It's got Golden Age artwork on the
yes.
cover? Yeah, okay.
He talks a lot about guys like Jack Liebowitz, like guys that created the comic companies in the Golden Age. And they were all shifty, fly-by-night guys.
Yeah, they were doing...
What they call them? Syndicates.
Yeah, they were all trying to cash in and just get out within 5 years.
Yeah.
They were all doing porno mags first.
Yes,
and then that went over to pulps, and then pulps became... Pulps got
spicy
too much attention.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then crime novels and all that
stuff. We should go get some spicy pulp after the show, I think.
Some spicy
pulp.
It gives me the wind.
I feel like Hooters will sell us some spicy pulp.
Have you been to the new Hooters in Countryside?
We did. Dave Navarro made us go.
Yeah, there you go.
He made us go one day after a podcast.
Yes.
He's like, "I'm hungry. We need to go to Hooters." Yes. I was like, "How do those two sentences fit together?"
Yeah.
They serve food.
They serve food.
I understand.
Yeah.
But anyway.
but the comic... And when you hear how kind of sleazy these guys were that created comic companies, you kind of understand why Seduction of the Innocent, like Gotham, went after comic companies. Because these guys
They were scumbags.
Yeah.
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 They were not the Stan Lees of the world.
No,
right.
Not by any stretch.
And that's the thing is, you know, the artists, I think, you know, they're just doing what they love. They're trying to make a dime, support their families. But it's these seedy, like, mob connection-tied guys setting these companies up.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys.
Because they're tied with the paper mills.
Yeah, the paper mills were a big thing. And they were mob-run.
Yeah.
So it was just like, he was just like, "Hey, can you do something with all this paper?"
Yeah.
"Like, we'll make it with you while." I was like, "All right, we'll draw pictures in it, Mr. Lefty." "All right, I'll come and see you in a month. I got some more papers."
Yeah.
I'll beep the horn twice.
I'm going to go get the papers. Get the papers.
Yeah. If not for nothing. Hey, coffee cake.
Oh, we're going to bring Steven's New York accent back.
Uh-oh.
I'm trying real hard.
Real hard.
Trying real hard to keep that.
Trying real hard, yeah. Ringo.
Hold it down.
Hey, Steven, trying the cabs are here.
Yeah.
Cabs are here.
Yeah, but there's no reason really that comics as a medium, first, should survive at all, much less be at a place where it's not exactly movies or television, but it's much more stable and corporate than it's ever been.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Now it's crazy. I mean, you know, before, you know, in the 60s, 70s, you could have just walked into the Marvel offices and said, "Hey, here's my portfolio. Yeah. Do you want to hire me like Stranko did?"
Yeah.
What did he
pick? Strange Tales.
Yeah. He picked the shittiest book
of
Marvel.
Yeah. Out of the rack. And Stan apparently told him,
"Go for it.
Pick one."
Yeah.
This one, you know.
Yeah.
And grab Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when Neil Adams tried to get into, I think it was Timely. Joe Simon said, "Look, we're all going to be out of business in a year. You should go into advertising because that's stable."
Right. Yeah. Yep. He said, "There won't be work for you in a year."
Man, he does a lot of advertising. I actually have his advertising portfolio because I was
freelancing.
Really?
The Continuity Studios. I was freelancing at an agency and it was on the table.
Yeah.
I was like,
"That's awesome." Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's not a library book. You don't have to bring it
true.
Back.
There you
that's
go.
True.
He designed
Neil Adams. If Neil Adams hears this and gets mad and needs it back at the company, I will trade it for an interview.
There you go.
There you go.
The gauntlet has been thrown.
I got a book on him, some like art book or something they're doing. I think you got it here over here somewhere on the shelf, John. It was he designed like a Superman theme park. Like Warner Brothers commissioned him to do like a whole design.
I've seen drawings of that.
He did a whole thing. He drew up like a Fortress of Solitude park. There was like a Kent Farm. He did this whole thing.
Yeah. that. And then, like a petting zoo at the Kent Farm for the kids
or
something?
Yeah, yeah. It was supposed to be like a big, big deal, and they just never built it.
Yeah.
You know, I think this was around the time like Walt Disney was running around opening up theme parks all over the world. Yeah. And they were like, we could do one too. And just, you know, never happened.
Could you imagine if Universal Studios back then would have been like, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Seriously, yeah. And, can you imagine? You
know, well, 10 years ago, we went to the Islands of Adventure, and we went to the Marvel Island.
Yeah.
And if they had built it today, it would be much different, because it was literally like a green roller coaster, and it was, and like,
Hulk green.
Yes, it was the Hulk roller coaster.
That roller coaster ate my cell phone.
There was a Spider-Man virtual ride. Which was like the only thing they put money into because it was Spider-Man. But it was like, it got to the point where like every the X-Men had a tilt-a-whirl. It was like storms. It was like the storm front, because you got in and storm would spin you around. But and I'm a huge Fantastic Four fan. So when we went down, I'm like, where's Fantastic Four? It's like, there was a cap ride. There was like, where's Fantastic Four? The Fantastic Four was the food court.
It was the Fantastic Four.
Food, you go into the food court and it's food. Like, it was a Fantastic food court. And then, and all it was the food court that was blue and white.
Yeah.
And then over.
And they had four tables.
Over the menu was like a Kubert drawing of every Fantastic Four villain.
It's pretty.
And that was it. I'm like,
Joe Kubert.
And I'm like, oh, look, the Mad Thinker. Let's get some fries.
Yeah.
Today,
I'm thinking some fries.
Well, now they've got that Doctor Doom. It's their ride. It's like a drop.
Yeah, that was part of the Doctor Doom freefall.
Yeah.
But they were all just basically rides where they just put a head on it. They were like,
pretty much.
They were like, we got a roller coaster and a freefall and a haunted house.
There wasn't anything ever like that. So seeing all that stuff as a kid, that stuff was pretty awesome. Like even that Spider-Man ride, like I remember we would just go on it repeatedly. My parents would be like, all right, we're going to go look at like the Dr. Seuss park. Or we're going to go here. I'm like, I'm going to just go ride.
I'm going to keep throwing up on this ride.
Yeah, I'm going to keep riding Spider-Man.
Because that was like Spider-Man versus Sinister Six.
Yeah,
and
it
the
was
coolest,
like a goofy version.
Yeah,
of
the coolest thing about
though.
Wasn't it like it was 3D glasses, but you were in like a car.
Yeah, you're in like a little Daily Bugle themed like Jeep, and there's even like a video of Jameson like explaining how it works, like a cartoon, which is pretty cool. And ride around the city and you help Spider-Man fight the Sinister Six.
Yeah,
and I guess they updated it. It's supposed to be way different. My brother was down there.
Oh, really?
He goes like every other year now. Cause, you know, he's not on the struggle bus. And he said they updated it. Like they changed some of the cinematics and stuff, and it's like a 3D movie. But it's like a weird Sinister Six. It's like Doc Ock, and he's got his arms, and then like at one point he like. Hit, like one of the arms like transforms and it's like a fire.
Yes,
and
it's
like he's got
lighter
at you.
It's a lighter.
Yeah. It's like he's got like a lighter on the end of it.
And that's also why Hydro Man
sponsored by Zippo.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's why Hydro Man's in the ride, so they can throw water at you.
Right. It was like they picked
it
it all makes sense.
But the coolest thing about that was it was in 3D, and at one point Spider Man's on a screen. But he jumps onto the car, and when he lands on the car shakes.
Yeah.
And it was like,
it's interactive.
What's Spidey weigh? 330 now? Making a car shake?
He's got spider strength.
That's right.
He could crush that car if he wanted to.
Yeah,
but if they built that now, that would be.
Oh,
like,
it would be all Avengers themed.
Yeah,
and it would also just be so much more sophisticated. It would be like. When we went to. Bill Monroe and I went to the Star Trek Hilton in Vegas before it closed.
Been there, done that.
Isn't
the
that
Star
great?
Trek ride.
Oh.
Corks Bar.
We got
still
so
have
drunk
the glass.
In Corks Bar. Do you?
How drunk did you get? Yeah.
We were drinking.
Next time I come over, I promise.
We got so drunk, I think I might have told the story before. We got so drunk on Romulan ale that when.
Said Romulan ale.
I did say Romulan ale because they sold blue beer and they called it Romulan ale. And then they sold like a burgundy wine that was Klingon blood wine.
Yeah.
And we drank a bunch of those. We were so drunk that when like the Klingons and the Borg come up to like talk to the table, we couldn't even talk to them. Like usually I can riff something with them, and we were just like, "You're a Borg."
Well, as the Klingons were leaving, I give them a kapla, and they both turned around and like, "Human, you can come back." I was like, "All right, man." And my girlfriend's just like, "I can still hear her eyes rolling in her head."
Could pass for Klingon.
Yeah, well,
you could. Just a couple of ridges, you're done.
Kirk, I want Genesis. No, I won't let you.
Give me what I want, and I'll consider it. I'm not Jake Migdakowski.
Alex, Tony.
Captain Kirk, you've got to go back to the future.
I feel like Doc Brown should show up in that scene.
Hey. Yeah, he was.
The flux capacitor.
Yeah, but it's amazing that it's really a great story. Just comics overall, how they got to this point.
Yeah, it was. They're paying these guys pennies.
Yeah,
literally pennies. Yeah. And then, you know, with the paper drive, World War II. Mm-hmm. You know, kids are, you know, well, I'm sure their mothers were telling them, turn in your comic books, help the war effort.
Right.
You know, and apparently a lot of the original artwork was lost that way.
Oh, yeah,
too.
They would just cut it up. They would cut it up and throw it away because they couldn't
donate it.
Because the originals couldn't fit in the trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they would just slice it with an X-Acto and throw it out.
Yeah, you hear stories, and this book talked a little bit about it, where like people would be like cleaning out like offices or warehouses and would just find like tons and tons of
it was
like
a closet.
Kirby originals or whatever, just like stashed in like a broom closet somewhere. It's just like. Well, because, today, you know, people lose their minds for this.
Well, because
everybody
thought of this as disposable. It's kind of
Who wants this?
Yeah,
it's on cheap paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you see all these pictures of these kids walking around, comic book folded up in their back pocket.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know? It was disposable.
And, yeah, it was. Yeah,
yeah, cheap entertainment.
I mean,
you know, like a dime novel.
You think of it today like television. Even when there's a big hit, everybody gets super super into it when it's on. And then usually it ends, and a couple of years later, everyone's forgotten about it.
Like Lost.
No one talks about Lost.
Yeah.
No one talks about it anymore. When it was on, everybody was like crazy into it.
Yeah.
And then there are some exceptions, like, you know, people will probably always love Star Trek. You know,
That's something I think, like, you know, Lost is done. It's not coming back. Star Trek will come out with a new series. And
I hate to use the word timeless, but.
It is.
Because there's always that sci-fi audience that'll be introduced, just like comics.
Yeah.
You know,
but even outside of that, something like I Love Lucy will always be really fun.
But
well, these are like classics or whatever at this point. Yeah, you know, something where it's just like some levels like get achieved.
With comics, I think what it was nobody really anticipated how big some of these characters would be. I mean, even Siegel and Shuster, and everybody knows of the struggle they had to try to get the rights, to try to get paid because they had no money their entire lives.
Yeah.
Even they thought that it would last 2-3 years,
five tops. Yeah,
you know, we didn't think we'd be here 75 years later.
Yeah,
yeah,
and have 75 years of history.
Yeah,
for both companies.
Right.
You know,
that's why I would love it if the author of Marvel Comics would do a DC.
That's what I'm kind of hoping. Oh, you know, you want to read.
There were so many times
DC
in that. There were so many times in that book where he was telling a story about an era, and I'm like, oh yeah, but I remember this was actually in response to what DC was doing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the book did do a good job of mentioning, well, he was at DC at the time and then came over, and then Kirby quit and left and went to DC.
Well, especially the 70s and the 80s, everybody was cross-pollinating.
It's like,
you know, Len Wein, Marvel,
the best comics
Denny O'Neil.
Anyway, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of spread it around, you know, and it's, you know, every once in a while, like, you know, DC will come up with some goofy idea and be like strangling their own company, and then like Marvel's like flourishing, and then they switch, and then Marvel's fucking everything up, and then
it's
DC.
Like it's every 5 years, and you're seeing that now is Marvel's trying to do New 52 by doing Marvel Now
another
on everything.
Another bloody reboot.
There's another there's another reboot on books that are 25 issues old.
Yeah,
yeah,
because it's like
just to get a new number one,
number one sell.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of how 10 years ago everybody was saying writing for the trade. Now it's all about getting that number one for digital.
Yeah.
Because I was reading, I think it was a couple of resources yesterday. They were saying the digital, and you know this as a retailer, digital hasn't destroyed print sales. Like,
oh, no.
Even Mark Waid, he had this big quote where he was just like, well, they're doing digital comics now, so like, see you later, comic book stores. And he was really kind of down on it because he's just like.
Yeah.
And now he owns two of them.
Now he owns them. Yeah. You know, and it's, you know, it's something where it really is. It sounds like it really would have happened. Like, they would have done these digital comics and, like, it would have shut us down. But it's like, it actually kind of helps because it's like, well, here's the first issue of Daredevil.
Sure, yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Go to here's the comic book locator app. Go find the nearest store and go get the rest of it.
Yeah.
And I think what it's done is it seems like it ate some of that trade boom that was happening 10 years ago. Because everything, you look at now, they're still doing beautiful things. The Marvel Omnibuses are great, but the prices have shot way up.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's not as many. You look at the oversized hardcovers they were doing 10 years ago, they were $30.
Yeah.
And they were oversized. They had like 15 issues in them.
Yep. Yeah.
And you don't see those anymore.
Nope.
Now
it's Omnibus.
Yeah. Now it's a premier size hardcover, which is normal size 6 issues, and that one's $30.
Yeah.
Because so digital has taken those sales away.
Yeah.
I think trade sales
have
slowed down.
And I think that's something where they thought, you know, it destroyed the you know, music industry, the CD stores and stuff. And yeah, coconuts and all that stuff.
All that, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's what they thought was going to happen to comics, but it's like, it didn't hurt, you know, the comic book industry any more than, you know, the invention of the elevator hurt the stairs industry. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like...
Is there a stairs industry?
Maybe there was.
Has anyone ever interviewed for a stair company? Where the guy's like, I got this 30-story building. I don't know how to put stairs in it. Well, welcome to Stairmasters. You're an exercise company, right? No, we get that problem all the time.
Do you like to sit right on the stairs? I'll put a chair in there and a lift.
We got motorized stairs.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's
we're all in motorized vehicles right now. As we're
there, you go.
Podcast.
We're on a treadmill. We just go around and around and around and around.
Like three hamsters.
It's a storm tilt-a-whirl. I put it in my house.
This is awesome.
No, but you're right. And I think that the thing with music was music made the mistake that no one else is going to make again, which was trying to stop digital downloading. So everyone did it for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because screw you. And then iTunes was just a year or two late. And iTunes saved it, but it's not.
No, yeah, it's not the
case.
It was decimated by that point.
And that's the thing, you know.
I mean, you know, Adele's making money. You can still make money at it.
Oh, all these people are, yeah.
Yeah, but you're not like, you're not getting signed to a record company and you're a millionaire in a year anymore.
Right, and that's the thing, too, is, you know, like, you know, if you want it bad for free, you'll find it online, no matter what.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. You I mean, it might not be in English, but you'll get it for free. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, you could download any movie, any song, literally the days before it comes out. And you want to see Captain America the Winter Soldier? Go find it. It's on the internet.
Yeah, it might be in Romanian. And but, you know.
Then that's the smart thing about Comixology or iTunes is if we make it easy and we make it cheap, most people will be like, all right, I'll pay a dollar for this digital comic.
Reluctantly. A dollar.
Yeah, it's like I could get it for free, but then I got to go to this site that's in the Cayman Islands that's probably going to give me viruses that's getting shut down. Yeah.
Right, you're going to get the computer version of
a lot of people. A lot of people are more... My iMac has gonorrhea now. Yeah. Right? It's coughing.
Why does my screen have a sore on it?
Then they did talk about the digital stuff, I think, in the book, too. They mentioned
because
it's like what's coming up.
Yeah, that was the big worry, you know?
Yeah,
but this is a medium where character is king, and no one saw that coming ever. Like, nobody knew that Superman was going to be this huge thing. Batman, too. Batman was
Batman wasn't big until the 60s.
Yeah.
That's all they were doing. They were throwing... You know, whatever stuck to the wall.
Yeah, because if you really look at the Golden Age of comics, there are hundreds of horrible
characters. Yeah, I would say in the Golden Age, there were just as many characters as there is in the current like Marvel Universe. Because, like you said, they were just making up all kinds of
guys. But they all had their own... They didn't have their own books. They all had their own strips in a book. Like Action Comics would have, like, 8 strips.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
In the Marvel, you know? The Marvel Universe, you're talking about a lot of supporting characters. You're talking about a lot of villains.
Yeah.
In the Golden Age, everybody had their own
strip.
Yeah.
And even that was something where it's just like...
And it was guys like the Red Bee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they were just coming up with anything. And then...
Yeah, the Purple Pimple, you know.
By the time we get to the 1950s or whatever, you're talking Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, and Robin. That's
it. Yeah, pretty much.
Out of everyone.
Yeah.
And then later, Hawkman and all these other guys get revived. Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's pretty ridiculous when you think about it. Like, how many characters and then just gets, like, funneled into, like, a few dozen that remain, you know? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Filtered down, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why those guys in the Golden Age and Silver Age were so humble. They were all like working class guys.
Yeah.
So when they started going to these conventions, they're like, oh, you like that book?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They were like, like I said, they were literally just blown away.
Well, they all kind of had self-esteem issues because they all wanted to draw comic strips.
Yeah.
Basically, everybody wanted to be doing Blondie.
Yeah.
And they were like, I'm not good enough to get in a comic strip because that's where the money is. So I'll just do these books.
Here's 5-page story.
Yeah, that was the big thing about Superman when they started was Siegel and Shuster were trying to get it as a comic strip. And they were like, oh, we'll do it as a comic book.
Yeah.
And then it became a strip. And Stan Lee later with the Spider-Man newspaper strip. He stayed on the newspaper strip longer than he stayed
forever,
on the book.
Yeah. And his brother, Larry Lieber, too.
Yep.
And what's his name? Alex Saviak.
Alex Saviak, who did Web of Spider-Man for a long time. Yeah. Till the 90s, and Romita Sr. was doing that strip for a long time.
I think Alex Saviak is still drawing the Spider-Man newspaper.
Is it still going?
I think so. Somewhere,
somewhere someone's got it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Look online, kids.
Yeah, somewhere. That's the thing. Somewhere out there, there's a newspaper.
Yeah.
And somewhere in that newspaper, there's a strip.
Just think, like, going back to, like, 1938 and, you know, to saying to a kid, this Superman comic you just bought is going to be worth $1 billion or whatever in the future, and newspapers, they're pretty much going to stop making those. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If you said Superman was going to outlive the newspaper, people would have thought you were insane.
Yeah,
you know.
Like, but it would. Are you nuts?
Yeah, it would be like if today everybody was super into old radio dramas.
Yeah,
and they were like, the radio drama was the greatest medium there was.
Yeah,
it's like, really? We need to listen to old Jack
and
Benny
if you
programs.
Think about it too, it, you know, comic books
actually they're kind of funny.
Jack Benny, oh yeah, yeah.
But if
coming
you think
home
about
from work late at night, I listen to BBM FM.
Oh, do they replay those?
Yeah, they have a show called When Radio Was.
Really?
Yeah, it's that awesome. Sounds awesome. Yeah, it starts at like at 12:05, you know, right after midnight, and goes for an hour, and that's what I listen to on the ride home from
that's
work.
Awesome.
I'm an old man.
That sounds great.
I'm getting old.
But
I still like my jams, though.
If you think about it, though, comic books, that's like one of the original American art forms.
Yes,
we invented baseball,
yeah.
We invented jazz, and we invented comic books. Yeah, you know, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Harlan Olsen loves to tell that story. We invented comic books and the banjo, and I'm a terrible person. And then they cut to the next guy.
Yeah.
Go play your banjo.
Stop bothering people.
Go play
but
your...
first, a little Foggy Mountain breakdown. Ding, 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 ding.
I'm writing a comic book musical on the banjo. Yeah, once was
literally,
man,
he's writing it on a banjo and running out of room.
Yeah, right?
Because there's only so much room on that round canvas.
Because that guy's batshit crazy. Love the guy. Met him twice. Really great guy, but woo.
I met him once. He scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, well, the second time I met him, he was at Walt Simonson's booth. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. But,
that happens sometimes.
Once... They were swearing quite a lot in front of children, but Harlan Ellison stopped Walt Simonson in mid-sentence and said, "Hey, sign this for this kid," meaning me, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just waiting my turn in line. And he's like, "Yeah, sure, Harlan. Why don't you wait an effing minute?" You know, whoa!
It's that attitude. Cool. We have this iconic attitude. We think the comic books are Beatles.
They're rock
stars,
and they think they're guys that couldn't get into advertising.
Right? Yeah.
I was at. I think I may have told this story. You know what? We've done about 60 of these shows, so I may be telling stories several times.
Just a recap.
But in the 90s, I got to know Bernie Wrightson pretty well. One time I was at his booth, and he goes, "I got to go to the bathroom." And he put his name tag on me. And I'm 24 years old, and guys are bringing me Swamp Thing number one. And they're just looking at me for a long time. They were like, "Bernie Wrightson looks really young.
He's a kid.
And then I was like, "What do you want me to write on it? How can I ruin your original Swamp Thing?"
That's what I tell people when they ask me to sign issues of Tiny Titans or something that I make an appearance in. How do you want me to devalue you?
Right, yeah. What can I do for that?
Yeah. You're going to put this up on a wall somewhere, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, well, Marvel Comics Untold Story talks a lot about this, that it went through like the avant-garde artist phase.
Yeah.
When you got guys like Jim Starlin and Roy Thomas, and those guys were getting really high and writing Doug Mensch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going outside and smoking a joint.
Like
and then
walking
going
around,
back in, and I finally got over my writer's block.
Yeah.
And those are the comics Joe Pakovitz loves, and those are the comics
all that,
I
like,
cannot
cosmic
read.
Stuff, you know, where it's just like, you know, you read it, and you're just like, well, of course these guys were fucking high. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like, who comes up with this shit? You know? But it's like a lot of good stuff in there, like real, real good stuff from like all that cosmic stuff they were, you know, doing.
It's beautiful.
And that's, that's 70s Avengers. That's where you
70s Avengers, Captain Marvel stuff. It's all trippy.
70s Avengers were like trippy cosmic mixed with total soap opera.
Yeah.
Because everybody's in love with the Scarlet Witch and kind of mad about it.
Yeah.
So, everybody wants to hook up with Mantis, the celestial Madonna. I don't think so.
She was green and looked slightly Asian.
And she's always like, this one.
Yeah, this
That's
one.
That's how she talked about herself.
That one on a walk.
She was Vietnamese, I think. And then
Vietnamese,
I think she checked up with the swordsman.
The ghost of
the ghost of the swordsman.
For crying out loud.
Yeah, that's when I was just like, Spider-Man's got money troubles. I can figure that out. Like, Spider-Man likes a redhead and who's dating his friend. I get that.
Yeah.
Oh, and this,
and I think Immortus was the preacher at their wedding.
Yeah, right? By the power invested in me.
Right. It's just like,
by who, Eternity?
Are you the guy that brought the space phantom?
Yeah.
Like, what the
are
fuck?
You Rama Tut? Who are you?
Ray Thomas was like the first fan fiction writer where he was just like, everything Stan Lee does is connected somehow.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
but that
what?
Cat figured it out.
Yep. But you know what? That built the Marvel Universe.
It really did.
Yeah.
Because then they were like, well, everybody has a connection somewhere. And that's when I come in the early 80s. When did you start reading?
Oh, God. Probably, middle 70s, you know, pretty much.
You're that same era. You're like Joe. Yeah. See, I come in a little.
Early 70s, you know, because my cousin Danny used to give my brother and I, you know, like boxes of old comics.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of DC.
Because they were disposable.
Yeah.
So here, take this. Here,
you know, Aunt Marion wants you to have these. Okay. And then I can already hear in my head my dad grumbling. I got to put these in the trunk of the car. You know. Well, too bad. You know, your sons are reading.
Seriously. That's how I learned how to read.
And, you know, that kind of goes full circle. If you give a kid something they're interested in reading, they will continue reading something else. You know,
It's the spark that starts the fire, man. You got to start somewhere.
It's a skill.
And that goes back to the book. All these guys that worship the Golden Age guys.
Yeah.
You know, Roy Thomas, you know, and all these, Tony Isabella, all these other guys.
Yep.
Jim Starlin, you know.
Yeah, all the 70s guys.
You know, I want to do that. And they stuck with it.
And they say in the book, those were the first guys who say, I want to do comics for a living.
Yeah, Wolfman, Len Wein, these are like the first fans.
Yeah, the fans that became.
Became working in the industry.
They were the first guy because everybody before them was just like, I guess I'm doing this.
Yeah, like you said, advertising wasn't an option. You couldn't get your foot in the door there.
Yep.
I'll draw these funny books.
Well, it's like Buscema fucking hated superheroes.
Yeah.
Spider-Man was terrible.
Yeah.
All he wanted to do was draw like Conan, but it's like, well, the Avengers will fucking put your kids through college. He's like, all right.
Yeah.
I'll draw the fucking Vision. I'll come up with Black Panther, whatever. He just fucking.
And I'm sorry, I don't care how he felt about it. His Silver Surfer and his late 60s Avengers are some of the most beautiful comics ever drawn.
Easily,
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah.
That's the artist edition I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
So,
I'm waiting. I'm also waiting for when the next Avengers movie, I'm hoping for the Volume 2 Omnibus, which will get to the Buscema.
Oh, you know they're. Yeah. They're working on
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think they don't, but
every once in a while.
Every once in a while you get a surprise.
There are times with these omnibuses that I have spent more on the omnibus than I could have spent on the back issues. Because I got the...
those are beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
It's the only way I collect.
I have the Untold Tales, which I bought, I think, at a discount. Like, if you know, Amazon would get... You could get it for $60, $75.
That's a steal.
Yeah, but then I was on eBay and I got the entire run for $20.
That's a steal.
So, but you know what? It's a good enough book that I want both.
But see, someone before you dished it out.
Oh yeah, somebody before
and then,
you. Yeah,
you know, their old lady or something was like, "You're getting rid of that stuff." Yep. You know, it's like, come on, babe. Either I go where it goes. Books on my shelf, or you know, bumping uglies with my old lady.
Yeah, right.
I choose bumping uglies.
How much does that cost?
Yeah.
All the books on your
shelf. Quite a lot more than all the books on your shelf.
It's like we still got these guys that'll come in, you know, and I'll see them every week, and it'll be like $50 every week or whatever. And then one week they come in with their wives, and I always say, like, oh, your total is, and I give them the total because I want to make sure when I run the card, they're not like, hey, what do you mean? Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah. Hurry up, ring me up. She's in the back of the store.
That's what this guy, every week I tell him, he always wants to know what the damage is, because I think he calculates it like before he shows up, because he knows what he's getting. Budget. And this time he's in it. I didn't know his wife was behind him. And I'm like, your total is, he's like, he just leans in quietly, don't say it. And I'm like, and without missing a beat, I'm like, yink. And I don't say a fucking word, because all of our subscribers are cheating on their wives with their comic books.
Yeah.
And that's something that a lot of partners don't understand, is that if you have this in you,
it doesn't go away.
No, because
it does not go away.
Because I've quit several times, and then I just found another angle. I was like, I'm selling all my comics, and I'm gonna get them digitally, and then I download everything.
Yeah,
and then the omnibuses come out, and I go, well, I'll only get the important stories.
Yeah.
These are,
these
and then I have the omnibuses. Then I have the omnibuses, and I have the issues, and I have them digital, because every time I sell them, I regret it in some way, and I go, well, I'm not going to buy it again, because that's admitting I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'll buy it in this other form.
Right.
Yeah. If it's a deal, though, at a garage sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like I've replaced all my DVDs with Blu-rays, because I'm upgrading.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's like these omnibuses, you know, it's like the Marvel does one pretty much every month now, and it got to the point where it's just like, I would used to just like pick and choose, like you said, only get the really big, important, great runs. And then I'm like, getting acts of vengeance and all this other dumb shit. I had to cut myself, and I'd be like, no, you don't need everything they print. You just need to go back to just getting the quality ones. So I'm only getting the quote-unquote like quality books. I have 40 fucking omnibuses. I counted them yesterday.
How many have you read?
I'm 10 behind.
Red? What? You don't read those.
Oh, you read them. They're wrist breakers. Come on. Wrist breakers.
Well, don't forget, Steven's getting stuff he's never read.
Yeah.
So, well, it's like I just...
Are you getting the one I'm really excited about is this week is the Roger Stern, John Romita Jr. Amazing Spider-Man omnibus.
Yeah.
So first Hobgoblin, Nothing Stuffs Hobby. A Juggernaut, yeah. Black Costume... That's my favorite run.
Well, luckily,
of Spider-Man
I have all
ever.
Those back issues.
There you go. You see, you don't need it. Yeah. I have. It's like $125 bucks.
Once again, I have all those back issues, except for the very expensive ones that I had and sold. $238, $252, nice. $230.
Well, when I need
had them. Don't have them now.
Not right now.
If and when I need rent money, I'm knocking on your door first with my Spider-Man box. Okay? Oh. And that includes king-size annuals.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what? My wife likes you. So you could put it in the dining room table, and I could give you $300, and she'd be like, oh, Jimmy.
Oh, what a guy.
That's for your kids.
Yeah.
There you go.
Eventually, I keep trying to get Ben interest. I will say
he's a little young still.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he's six. But you know what we read all of Bone together. He loved that. Whenever we get anything from Martin Franco, mm-hmm. we'll read Tiny Titans together.
Awesome.
We've read Dustin Nguyen's Little Gotham together. We've read some of the Batman 66. So nice. I'm getting him involved.
I love those covers. Batman 66.
Oh, those are great. He nails those, man.
He does. And I don't know.
He nails those.
And I guess he didn't have an exclusive contract because he was doing the covers while he was doing FF.
Yeah.
And now he's doing Silver Surfer with
Comes
Slot.
Out this
and
Wednesday.
He's still doing those Batman 66 covers.
They don't do contracts anymore from what I'm told.
They're not doing exclusives anymore?
Not no more.
Really?
Because they want to be able to.
Just straight up freelance again.
Dip in the pool and say, hey, man.
Yeah. We don't have to give you work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But. We would like you to do this.
That's all. Well, that's good, too, for the artists, because then they don't, you know, like John Romita Jr. can go over and
do Superman,
which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
we were talking about this before, is like, you were saying he won't be a, you don't think he'll be a DC long, he'll go back to Marvel.
Oh, I think, depending on how that Superman sells, I'll give it a year and he'll be back. Yep. Not because it won't go well, but I think because it's like, he knows where home's at.
Plus, they're done with Kick-Ass.
Yeah. He wrapped up Kick-Ass. Yeah. He'll do
but
a run on Superman.
I
want to
see him. I want
to
see him take a tour through DC. He did. Oh, he did the Batman Punisher crossover in the.
I've got that.
The 90s, but like, give him a little run of Detective or something. But
how about
or
Wonder
you know,
Woman.
How about Justice League?
Yeah,
just let him draw everybody for six issues and go. I haven't.
That'd be awesome.
I haven't bought Justice League since.
I want a poster of that.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Doing the DC Universe.
The DC Universe, yes.
Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah, like a handbook of the Marvel Universe kind
exactly,
of spread.
Dude.
Yeah.
But over Romita Jr., yeah.
That's awesome.
You know.
But he's also such a good storyteller. I want to see him tell a story.
Yeah.
Just let him cut loose.
Yeah, he knows what his strengths are. He's easily in the top three storytellers in comics right now. But it's like he doesn't have a pretty style. He's like inking with the Sharpie. It's awesome.
Oh,
don't get me wrong.
I love his
stuff.
If you love it, you love it.
But it's not pretty art.
He is perfect for that book.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he nails it. I mean, like the fight scenes and stuff.
Yeah.
You can feel that punch.
Yeah.
And the tooth will fly.
Yeah.
Was on when he did Punisher, because if you look at his 80s stuff, his Amazing Spider-Man with Roger Stern, which you just mentioned, and his X-Men, he's trying to be his dad.
Right.
He spent the first
10
years trying to look like his dad, and then. Once he got Punisher and Klaus Janson was inking on him, and Klaus Janson's, you know, the scratchiest guy in comics.
Oh, yeah.
As good as he is, that's his style. And he was like, oh, and you could see him just get rougher and rougher.
Yeah.
And then it was like Daredevil, and his Iron Man was rough.
We were just flipping through an Iron Man trade he did where it was like, I think it's like that 80s armor where it's like the space armor or something with the big red.
Yeah, the big shoulder pads.
And we're looking at it, and we're just like, no one draws Iron Man like this.
Armor Wars 2.
Armor Wars 2. Yep, that's the one. And it's just like
he fights a living laser.
He was doing stuff over Bob Layton's layouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, Layton laid it out, right?
And that's like, his second run. He's also one of those guys. He's been a Marvel so long that he has two runs. He has two Spider-Man runs that are different. He has two X-Men runs that are different.
Yep.
And he has two Iron Man runs that are different. The only book he's never drawn for Marvel consistently is Fantastic Four, and I want it.
Yeah.
He did that one special where Stan Lee wrote.
And he's drawn a bunch in other books and stuff.
Yeah, and he's drawn guest appearances, and he's drawn crossovers.
He did two runs on Spider-Man, didn't he?
Yeah, he did the 80s, and then he did the Straczynski.
The Straczynski
so
stuff.
So he did the 9/11 issue.
Yeah.
Which,
that was awesome.
So I want him at DC for like 3 years. Yeah. I haven't bought Justice League since... the first six New 52 issues with Jim Lee. And then I dropped off. I would come back in a heartbeat.
Oh, I'd read anything he's doing.
Yeah, like Jeff Johns and John Romita Jr.
Didn't like Kick-Ass. The second and the first issue or whatever of the first run of it, the little girl like cuts some dude in half with like a sword, and she calls him like a cunt. And I'm just like, I don't need to be reading this book, but I'll get it to flip through because Romita's just like knocking it out of the park.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember I bought the trade from Midtown Comics when the movie came out. They had it for like 75% off a stack of them, and I'm like, well, it's John Romita Jr. And
it's 75% off.
Yeah, seriously.
It was like $8 for this. I was like, all right. I was like, I'll do it.
You're only human, John.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Seriously. Here's that 10.
Right. Yeah. And Millar, for me, it depends on what he's doing. Some things I loved and some things I hated.
Well, he actually mentioned Tiny Titans in Kick-Ass.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sweet.
That is cool.
We were at Challengers. Art and Franco and Brother Bear and I were there for some reason. And hey, here's Kick-Ass, and I'm just flipping through it, and I'm like, Tiny...
Did we just get a shout-out?
Hit Girl says, this ain't Tiny Titans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or something like that. I'm like, guys.
Yeah.
And they were blown away.
Yeah,
Mark Millar knew what Tiny Titans was.
That's awesome.
You know,
and they're bringing Tiny Titans back, I heard.
Yes, they are.
That's the solicitations. I don't know if it's been official. It's been announced, but not officially solicited. I think it'll be in this preview.
Yeah,
I think
so. Yeah,
it's awesome.
Previews, I think,
it's coming back. It's coming back as an ongoing.
No,
the miniseries, right? But that's Art and Frankel's call, right? Because they can jump around and do other stuff.
I want to say,
that's awesome. Good event. Good on them, dude. But that's what's really cool about the industry now. Is just like there's a lot of like throwing each other bones,
or
like acknowledging, hey, you did this thing, and I like, yo, Mark,
come work for us.
Yeah, Mark Millar mentioned it probably because his kids are reading Tiny Titans, and he's just like, oh, yeah, I'll throw out a shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
He's probably never met those dudes.
No, as far as I know.
You know?
And that's where we are compared to the Golden Age and the Silver Age, where guys were like mostly siloed, just kind of hunched over drawing, handing
it
in.
It was like a sweatshop concept.
Yeah, they kind of knew each other, but we are in a point, and I think. We started talking about the 70s, and then the 80s, you got the rock stars. You got the John Burns and
Jim Shooter.
And then the Art Adams and then the Jim Lees. And it was all about like pumping them up. And now I think we're at a place, we're at the best of both worlds where we have the community again.
Yeah.
You're not seeing a lot of really big egos anymore.
No.
You walk through C2E2, everybody's pretty cool.
Yeah, every once in a while you hear about an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's tricky too because you hear all these
They'll always be assholes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the thing.
I mean,
you hear
everyone
all these
has a bad day, but you know.
Yeah. Right. And you hear these stories of this guy's a jerk, that guy's a jerk.
Yeah.
And every time, it never fails, every time we hear a story about like, oh, Alex Ross is a jerk. They meet Alex Ross. He's
nicest
a fucking
guy in the
sweetheart.
World,
you know, and that's really cool. It's just like, you know, like you said, hey, I'm sure a lot of people have called me an asshole because I've had bad days just like everybody else.
Yep.
You know?
No, and I've always been impressed. I mean, between the people I've met at conventions and the people that I've had on the show. You know, like when we had Chuck Dixon on the show and we had Jim DeMatteis on the show, I hadn't met either of them. I just talked to them on Facebook. I'm really nervous because coming from the 80s, there was this, they sat real tall behind the table and I'm like, I am king fuck of the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hand me your book.
Yeah, and then you talk to them and they're just like, hey, what are you up to?
Yeah.
You know?
You see him in line for coffee.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, he's eating hot dogs.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think we're at this point where it's like people, there's the appreciation of each other's work. It's like, I'm reading your work and I love it. Hey, why don't you do this? Why don't we do this?
Yeah.
And there's a nice cross-pollination. And nobody really believes in the Marvel and DC rivalry even anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's more like we said earlier in the show, Marvel now saw the New 52 sales figures and were like, we'll do that. And everybody's like, all right, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're at the point, it's like, you're going to publish Captain America and Thor and Fantastic Four
These
every
are
month.
All your characters, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, whether it's a number one or another number 500, if it's a good story, it's a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, and it's just, I think it's interesting the way it's evolved from this thing that was like, it's pretty sleazy and going to fall apart at any minute.
Yeah, because those guys wouldn't tell people what they did. They would say, I'm an illustrator.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stan Lee would call himself a science fiction writer. Yeah. He would call himself a children's writer at parties.
Yeah.
Because he said if he said comic books, people would walk
away.
Yeah,
they would. You're a what? You do what?
Yeah. Well, you get a lot of that, you know, where these guys are like kind of like, not ashamed, but, you know, it's just like, it was like a dirty thing.
It was almost, I mean, they loved what they did.
Right.
Yeah.
But in public, you know,
it wasn't
with their wives, you know, somewhere.
At parties
what do you
or
do?
Whatever?
I'm an illustrator.
Yeah. Oh, what do you illustrate?
Yeah.
Kids' books.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
what kind
yeah.
of kids' stories?
Are you Dr. Seuss?
Yeah. Then right. you get that Chatty Cathy. Oh, yeah. kids are blah, blah. You know, yeah.
I have kids. I read to them. Have yeah. I, you know what? It's just yeah. like,
have I seen some of your stuff?
Oh, Spider Man. And then they're yeah. just like,
Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
So I think this is the first show we've done. Since Cosmos premiered, on air, and I don't know if you've seen any of this, Jimmy.
I saw the original when it first came out with Dr. Sagan,
yeah.
way back when, and I'm really looking forward to watching this.
This one is just as good.
It's really good. Even starts on the same mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's genuinely talking. He's into it. Yeah, he really is. And you know, it's just like you just get so juiced. He does a great way, and there's a lot of people in his field, Neil deGrasse Tyson's field, who are way smarter than him, as far as what he's doing, and he knows that.
Yeah.
But it's the way he can explain it. So a guy like me who doesn't know anything about this,
and that's what Sagan was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same
and
thing.
I had the happy accident. I feel like we could do a whole episode on Cosmos.
Oh yeah,
maybe when the season wraps up. But I had the happy accident where when I put on the DVR, the National Geographic Channel showed all the Carl Sagans in one day.
Yeah,
so I have all the Carl Sagans in my DVR.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm watching them during the week, and then when Neil deGrasse Tyson comes on, I'm watching that again.
It's really cool. And he's just like, come with me. And it's just like, yes, Neil, we'll come with you. Where do you want to go? And then they show you how eyeballs evolved and like how much space is out there and what the Hubble Deep Field Telescope found. It's just like, there you go.
The
just like really, really awesome stuff. And it's just good to see because it's like he's just going to usher in like another generation of young scientists who want to kind of, you know, keep the whole project going. It's pretty sweet.
I had a really interesting conversation with Ben because I'm watching the Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he comes in and it's that part where he goes to Titan and where the oceans are made out of methane. It's so cold that the rock is made out of water, and like he takes his spaceship with imagination and he goes underwater, and Ben goes, is this real? And I'm like, well, the spaceship isn't real, but everything he's saying is totally real. He's like he goes into a dog's blood cells, and he's like, is he really in a dog? I'm like, he's not, but this is really what's in it. And he's six. He's in the first grade. And I'm saying yes and no all the time. Because if I say yes, he's going to be like,
wishy-washy.
If I say yes, he's going to think Neil deGrasse Tyson owns a TARDIS.
Right.
Which and if he does,
isn't true.
Stop by.
Right.
Yeah. And honestly, you know what? I'm at the point now where I think Neil deGrasse Tyson should be the next doctor.
Yeah, seriously.
Not right? Idris Elba.
An American?
Yep.
Yes. Not a ginger.
African-American.
But an American.
Yep.
Yeah. Although I will say I've been watching The Thick of It, which is, you know, actually, this will be my greatest thing in the world. The Thick of It was this BBC show. In 2005, it's kind of like House of Cards as a comedy.
Okay.
Like, it's a political satire. Couldn't find it on Amazon Prime. Couldn't find it on Netflix. Couldn't find it on anything. But iTunes had the season for $5. So I was like, all right, I'll buy it. I had a couple plane trips in the last month.
Such a deal.
So I was like, I'll watch it on the plane. And Peter Capaldi's in it.
Okay.
Who's the new doctor. Yeah. And you know, I'm like every American. I watched that BBC special, and basically I heard this. And the new doctor is... man, you've never heard of! man, we've never heard of!
Yeah.
Look at him! He's going to wear a suit!
he wear gym shoes? We'll find out.
Yeah, but this was his... this was the show that made him.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays a political advisor who is the meanest man alive and never stops cursing and just fires people at a whim.
Nice.
And everyone on the show is terrified of him. Like, his name is Malcolm Tucker, and they're just like, well, I have to go to Malcolm's. And everybody gets real depressed.
Oh, dear.
And there's a scene where he gets off the phone and he calls the secretary. He's like, bring in, and he's Scottish, which he'll be on Doctor Who. He's like, bring everybody in. I feel like a good shout. And the more I watch of this show, and it's a good show. It's not The Office. It's not the IT Crowd. It's not like this amazing, amazing show.
It's not like Workaholics or Broad Street.
Yeah, so. Or It's Always Sunny. Yeah. Or,
right.
Yeah. But it's... but watching him in it, I recommended just to watch him in this, because the more I see The Thick of It, the more excited I get for Doctor Who Season 8. I'm like, I want to see this guy.
Yeah.
And they're saying in interviews that he's going to be the... the more irascible doctor, mm-hmm. like the more cranky doctor.
Cratchety.
Yeah, and I think keeping Jenna Louise Coleman, there's like a good 30-year difference between them. So he's just going to be yelling at her like a bad student. And I really want to see this happen.
For me, the show Vikings.
What I've heard that? About
oh,
that. I haven't seen it.
Oh, man. Quality kills up the wazoo.
Yeah?
An excellent history lesson as well.
Yeah.
You learn something. Hey, kids, watch out. And, you know, just the story of two Viking brothers and Viking stuff and ships and spears
no
in the
shit.
Chest and
Who's got
women
that?
Fighting.
Yeah.
I want to say it's A&E.
A&E? No
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, or AMC, one of them.
Yeah.
One of them A channels.
Something. You know? Yeah, yeah. Go yeah. look for it. Yeah.
Yep. And
there was a joke on Conan where they did a bit of like DVR descriptions, and Vikings was, look at all these costumes we bought off Game of Thrones.
Right.
And let's not forget the new Hooters restaurant in Countryside.
In Countryside. Yeah,
which yep, is your yep. second plug for yep, a store you yep. received no money from.
Exactly.
Right. That's been open for like 9 months.
Yeah.
No, not that long.
Oh, really?
No,
if you weren't going
about
to work.
Six.
Yeah.
If you weren't going to work now, we would go.
You're darn right.
Yeah, there
you're
you
darn
go.
Right.
See, we're going. We're
My
gonna,
nephew gave me his rent money. So.
There go. We're going to head over there this afternoon because we have promised Ben that we're seeing Muppets Most Wanted today.
Oh, nice. Oh,
man,
which
I got to go to work.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. Man. It's getting good reviews, too.
I heard it's good.
If it's as good as the last one.
Hey, Tina Fey's in it.
Yeah, yeah, Tina Fey so, looks. Yeah. Tina Fey and Ricky Gervais and Ty yeah. Burrell, and it's
yeah.
like I think they all play villains. In
I think she's
yeah.
a crazy.
There's
yeah.
like
Russian.
No, there's no Jason Segel character
yeah.
in this.
Yeah,
who's nice
so.
To them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's that should be fun.
It's awesome.
Well, as always, you can follow me at Not In My Book. That is our Twitter handle. Please like us on Facebook. Lots of stuff going on Facebook. Lots of pictures. Dave Gonzalez has been posting pictures of the Chimeras Comics staff. In the Days of Future Past poster.
Yeah,
we've
got a couple of awesome. Promotions
we'll be linking
out.
To that. We'll show you some original artwork. A lot of good stuff going on. Please subscribe. We have absolutely no idea what our hit count is.
No.
I actually, Mike Lawrence posted a website called Podbay that tells you your stats because his podcast, Nerd of Mouth, is doing great. It's a great podcast. You should listen to it. So I went over and I was like, oh, let me see how Kevin A. Comes is doing. Put in Kevin A. Comes right up. I clicked on it, said, not enough data to display.
Oh, Madonna.
Which
man.
I take
Come
as
on.
No one listens to your podcast, but it could very well be your hosting site doesn't tell us anything.
Right. That's
Let's
true.
Go with that.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Jimmy, are you online at all?
No, man, I'm a caveman, dude. I work.
Jimmy's off the know. Grid.
Yeah, I'm off the grid. I got a phone, a clamshell still.
There you go.
But
if
yeah.
you go, I will say if you go to the Aw Yeah page, there is a drawing of Jimmy.
Hey,
a new one?
What? I think it's from the party. There's one of you and
oh,
Huntress
and it says
and
Charlie.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
that's
if you
from
want,
Scoot, yeah.
If you want to see our draw,
yeah.
Jimmy, it does exist on Facebook.
Yeah, it
and it's a pretty good likeness.
Yeah.
Oh, I recognized
yeah.
it right away.
Yeah. Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, well, there's, oh, Jimmy's in
oh,
there.
Yeah, you did.
And Steve?
19 South of Grange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
Yeah.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!